Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
First down, goal to go for the Chiefs. No score. A little over 6 minutes to go, first quarter. Kareem Hunt, the running back. The Chiefs come on a flip pass to Rice. Near side, touchdown! Kansas City! As Rashi Rice gets the flip pass and gives it a drop kick punt into the stands.
He did punt that thing. That was like Marcus Peters-esque right there.
Not want the ball back? It's the first time he's been in the end zone in a while.
A lot of emotion there, you know? A lot of emotion. He said he won't be punting the football probably any other time. But that was a pretty impressive punt. Rashi Rice's return, much-awaited return to the Chiefs lineup, and he ends up with a 7-catch, 42-yard, 2-touchdown performance.
On 10 targets,
and because of the game script and the way it was going, he obviously could have played more if they needed him to play more, but they were checking in on him, he said, even during the game a little bit. Andy Reid was asking like how he was feeling just to see kind of stamina-wise where things were at, but what we saw yesterday was a glimpse in why the conversation about could he be a top 15 receiver, could he eventually be a top 10 receiver, why can that happen? Because you said it, on 14 routes run, he had 7 catches and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and look, we're not doing pacing stats for single players because that would be crazy. But we know that 6 catches a game is the kind of guy that Travis Kelce's been a lot of these. 6, 7, 8 catches a game is 100, 120, 130, depending on if you get 6, 7, or 8 catches a game. He was, by far, even in the limited time they were in the field, the most targeted guy. Everyone else really shared the workload, shared a number of targets, shared a number of catches. Rashi Rice and Rashi was getting more than just about anybody else on either side of the football across the board. I thought it was very encouraging for the thing I told you, which is I just needed to see it play out in a longer period of time just to make sure I knew where to place Rice. I knew he was one of the 30 best probably wide receivers in the NFL. Hell, probably even the 20 best. I think I knew in my gut that that's where he belonged. But having only had a rookie season and three full games from the previous season to go off of, I wanted to see what it was going to look like in an offense in which there are plenty of other people they can throw the ball to, plenty of other weapons available to him. He's a great red zone target. He got 10 targets, 7 catches. He only ran 14 routes, which means they threw to him like 80% of the time. He was going out for a route, and he was open, a good chunk of those. And so, yeah, it's hard for me to assume that he's not going to have some pretty big numbers the rest of the way. Pretty easy to assume at this point.
It looked a lot like the first couple weeks last year when he was on the field before the injury to the Chargers in the Chargers game, you know, and that in that case, that was still Xavier Worthy as a rookie, and so it was really just Rashee Rice. Now we all know they've got multiple weapons out there on offense, and you feel very, very good about the situation. But you saw, you know, yards after the catch when you get the football in his hands. You know, he is like a running back with the ball. And that's the beautiful thing with his game is that if it's a 5-yard slant, he's one of, you know, two guys on that. Now, I would say before we would have said one guy, but now they probably would say two other players on the team that can take a 5-yard catch and you feel like add another 25 yards to it.
This includes a game in which he, you know, scored 0 points because obviously he was injured. I mean, if you start going through his career numbers, he's only played in 21 career games, which is a very low number. One of which he was injured in the fourth quarter and didn't complete the game. He's played 21 career games, got 1,268 yards and 11 touchdowns. You're like, well, that's not super impressive. But once you start going through what counted in one regular season versus another, you can see the jump. The jump from those career games to what he did in the rest of it stands out. 7 for 103, 5 for 75, 12 for 110, and 7 for 42. Two times he got in the end zone. He is consistently performing for this team. More, also important, not that I thought that this was the case, he looked healthy. And I assumed he was healthy. Plenty of time to recover from the injury, no reason why he wouldn't be healthy, but he hadn't been on a football field in a competitive tackle football game since, other than a preseason game, which barely counts, in a while. So it was nice to see him move like old Rashee Rice in a way that made it seem and look comfortable. That was important.
This was Xavier Worthy who was speaking to those of us in the locker room. And then you'll hear at the beginning, Rashee Rice, of course, they share a locker or at least lockers right next to each other. And you could tell they were obviously happy about having both of them together on the field.
I mean, Sue, my dog, man. You see, he came out here 2 tubs, made it easy for us. So it's good having him back.
Talk about the shirts you guys had on today.
Oh, folks, tell them what the shirts were.
I don't know, man. This was just kind of our first time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That looks good. He punted that thing pretty far, too, after the touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, that was just normal. That's training camp, so you just bring what we do from practice to the field.
Do you feel some more ease in the offense and like you're more open with the addition of
Rashee? Oh, yeah, it's always easier just having everybody. All the depth we have on the field, we got Trav, we got guys like Rashee coming back, we got Hollywood, Taekwon, that big catch on the field, so it just makes it easier for guys to get plays and get open.
Did this feel like a pretty good depiction of what this offense can do now, you know, with this firepower, everybody's kind of healthy?
I mean, yeah, this y'all are just now seeing it. We've seen this all offseason, so it's kind of like something that we were just waiting on and waiting for it to happen.
And that part right there, last training camp, we saw the explosiveness.
We did?
Never saw it in the regular season.
No, because Hollywood got hurt so fast, and then obviously
and
Rice.
And so now we're starting to see it happen. This was the plan for really two off seasons.
The only question I have is it relates to the way they looked against the Raiders versus how they'll handle this against other teams. And this is something that's going to be really, really tough for other teams to diagnose. It felt like in that game, they were just like forcing it, not in a bad way, but forcing it to Rice. Right? They're down on the 2-yard line gold and they're doing the pop passes. Oh, here comes Rashee Rice in motion. Little flip, get him in the end zone. Like they're making a point of getting it to Rice in the flat, getting him involved, making sure he touched the ball, which we thought they'd do going into the game. Do we think his usage will look like that every week? Or were they just trying to get his feet wet? Get him in the game, make sure he knew what he was doing, get him confident and comfortable again.
I expect this kind of target share going forward.
I kind of do too, but I do think that it's a real question and something we'll keep an eye out on is because they do have so many people to throw the ball to. This is, again, going back to what we talked about the offense, which we'll talk about again later on in the show. Just the offense as a whole, everything looks so easy right now. Looks easy for Rice, looks easy for Worthy. Everyone is loose and comfortable. And again, they just beat the hell
that helps.
Out of the
Raiders. That also, I mean, you're going to
find
some
pretty good.
I'm sure they
were in a pretty good mood.
Yeah, this was Rashee Rice from the podium having some thoughts on being back on the field with everybody.
Truthfully speaking, the passing game is working because we got so many weapons. We have players all over the field that can, you know, go deep. Honestly, everybody on the field can do everything. So we got different positions where we put me at running back at wide receiver, and we just switching it all around. And we got hype like that, man. We all family. We playing for each other right now.
I think that was in the hall. I don't think that was actually from the podium.
Yeah.
As far as Rashee Rice, you know, he was pretty, I think, relaxed once they were able to get the first snap or two out of the game. And you can tell the excitement that they believe that this is also just kind of the beginning of where the offense is heading. That's the scary thing, I think, if you're everybody else in the NFL.
somebody was saying, hey, look at his splits. This is pretty much how they use him. I'm not even disagreeing. But so last year, this is what's so interesting about offensive dynamics and how defenses have to structure it. That's not how they used him the entirety of his rookie year. Towards the end, his usage got closer to that. Last year, his usage was like that, but there was no one to throw to, right? Very limited options. So, of course, his usage was way up. They didn't have a lot of other options in the passing game. Worthy was a rookie. They weren't going to use him it that way. Kelsey was slower. And, you know, like, it wasn't going to get that kind of usage. And so, like, and they were without Hollywood Brown. They didn't have all the pieces in place. This year, they have everyone. This will make them very difficult. And Rashee Rice, very difficult to guard. He will sometimes get one-on-one coverage. He will sometimes get an absolute monster target share as a result of it. But I think there's going to be some of these once every three games where, even in that game, right, the leading yardage receiver wasn't Rashee Rice. It was Travis Kelce, of all people. And the lead, now, a huge chunk of that came on one catch. The leading yardage guy was Travis Kelce. This year, this is what I'll be interested to find out. This year, the leading yardage receiver leader has been like several different guys. Kelce three times. It's been Worthy. It's bounced around a little bit. So, like, how many times the rest of the way do you think Rashee Rice will lead this team in receiving yardage? I don't know. Probably four.
Yeah, he'll to me be the leader of that the rest of the way. Like, if
you know, I just meant per game.
But yeah, I mean, it's that's the beauty of hopefully what they have offensively. If these guys stay healthy, is you're going to have to truly pick who you're going to try to at least attempt to slow down if you're an opponent. If you're the Commanders coming up now on Monday night, you know, are you going to key in more on Rashee Rice? Well, then
I would.
That's what allows the 40 plus yard wide open play to Travis Kelce, or what was it, 20 yards, I think, to Noah Gray at one point in the game as well. I mean, there's just going to be opportunity for somebody else. If you think you're going to be able to shut down one particular player, good luck with that anyway. The creativity on offense will likely get the ball in the hands of Rashee Rice one way or the other, just because they're going to do different things. Sometimes it's going to be a touch pass. Sometimes it's going to be in around, whatever it may be. If they want it, they know they want to get the football in the hands of Rashee Rice. So they will be creative in that way. But if an opponent is doing a really nice job there, then that's probably a game in which Travis Kelce or Hollywood Brown has their biggest performance. One thing that I want to watch moving forward, I think will be fun, is because of the way the score went yesterday and it got out of hand, we didn't see Rice, Brown, Worthy on the field as much as, like, we've all talked about, like, how exciting it's going to be. They didn't even do that until the second quarter.
Nope, didn't have
to. They didn't need to, yeah. So what happens?
They came out in 12 personnel. They came out in two wide.
Yes.
And a couple of tight ends, and then took the ball all the way down the field goal and just threw it to the tight ends. Kelce had a huge play. Noah Gray had the second biggest play on the drive.
Yep.
And so some of that is just confusing teams. Look, I don't think Rashee Rice is going to put up, like, monster numbers, in the sense that I don't think he's going to put up, like, 120 or 100, you know, like, 80 yards a game the rest of the way. But he's obviously going to be their leading wide receiver. He's their number one target, which is crazy for an offense that was already clicking. What we pointed out going into this game, because they were already moving the ball with efficiency, finding guys, not having any trouble punting, like, just functionally very good offense, and then added back after this game what we know, what we thought we knew, and now we know after one game. Rashee Rice is their number one target. They got their number one target in the offense back after they were already starting to score in the season.
We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 5 minutes or so. Now, late in the game, it was very evident they were just going to keep feeding Breshard Smith because Gardner Minshew was in the game, and they were just set on running the football and running clock, and it was so out of hand. But before that, I had even put in the rundown before that point in time, I felt like we were already starting to see an uptick in snaps for Breshard Smith.
Yeah, it looks like an equal share guy.
Stat line is not what I'm talking about because, yeah, I mean, they ran the ball, 15 times in the fourth quarter, and they were all to Breshard Smith.
They did not let.
Yeah.
They did not let Gardner Minshew throw a pass.
But, so, yeah, the final stats, 14 carries, 39 yards, and then, you know, the receiving numbers, that's what I want to talk about more. That's to me what matters. 5 for 42.
Which took place when Minshew wasn't in the game.
Correct, when they were still, quote-unquote, trying to score points after not laying off the gas. That, to me, was the uptick I was talking about. Not the rush, the rushes, because that was garbage. But they got him on the field more in passing downs and gave him the football more often. I like this gradual increase. He, to me, is explosiveness-wise their best back, and it's not close. Now, carrying the ball, they don't, you know, I don't think they fully trust him yet. You and I were talking, you know, in pass protection, I don't think they trust him yet either fully to stick in there on a third down and protect.
Do you know how many pass protection snaps he's had this year?
Doesn't feel like many.
Zero.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, they don't trust him yet.
So if he's in the game, he either is chipping
Yeah.
Or he is, but either way, he's going out.
He had the big 17-yard. I think it was off of a screen. They ran a screen to him. Yep. 17 yards, a key first down. At the time, it felt like it was important because you didn't know the rest of the game, the way it was going to go. So I like the continued role for Breshard Smith. I just hope they add to this. And by week 12, we're saying, oh, he's going to be the story of that extra weapon. They got plenty of weapons on offense, but will he end up being the guy as the season goes on? We say, okay, he's now kind of the guy that nationally X factor, nobody's really talking about, but he's somebody that ends up giving him a whole nother element out of the backfield.
It's interesting because Diana Rossini said that they're not currently shopping for running backs, which you and I thought probably shifted once they were getting some more production out of those players and found a way of doing it three-headed. I'm going to have to wait because part of his catches also came when Kareem Hunt was out of the game for a brief period of time. And so, like, it was a weird game to diagnose the running back situation because I have to eliminate all the carries pretty much altogether. They didn't matter. They were all garbage time, Gardner Minshew. They weren't actually giving them to him. The passes were mostly during the heat or the bulk of the game, but there were a few snaps that he got extra because Kareem Hunt was out of the game after it looked like maybe he had injured his leg there. His ankle.
They just taped his ankle
They did, for a short period of time in the game. So it's difficult to diagnose. I hope you're right. And what's happening now is they're getting ready to use him more. They have settled in pretty comfortably to a split, though. Like, Isaiah Pacheco's going to get the most. Kareem Hunt's going to get the second most. And Breshard Smith is going to be the, we want a back who can catch the football and to give you some looks in which we might throw this to the back to either get you off of these guys deeper into coverage or to actually just use the back, run screen games. He's their most explosive back by far, I think, It's also why I'd love to see some actual carries in games or game times that matter. Is there some reason why he can't get a carry in the second quarter against a base-look defense?
I mean, they've been using him in the slot more than they have. Mm-hmm. He's been lining up a wide receiver more than he has running back.
And that's why the catches entirely are increasing. We all know he was a wide receiver in college before he became a running back. So that's the skill set they're going to utilize. I don't know if that's a long-term thing, if that's still just trying to get him more comfortable in some other situations. But right now, where he's most effective is as a receiving back. I just think, though, when he touches the ball, feel like there's a chance of something. I'm not saying on a third and one, they should be running halfback dives with Breshard Smith. That's not what any of us are suggesting. In fact, Kareem Hunt's done a really nice job in short yardage again. But he, to me, should still be more involved. And I think they're built. That's where the buildup of the offense and what's the full offense look like. That's something we don't see until December. And maybe that includes more Breshard Smith and some special packages. But right now, it also is tricky. I mean, Tyquan Thornton's barely getting on the field, too. I mean, they're in a spot, oddly enough, they have so many healthy receivers and options
Breshard
currently.
Breshard Smith, wide receiver snaps are keeping Tyquan off.
Yes, yeah. I mean, there's only so many snaps to go around.
Which means that'll tell you how much they like him. They have this many wide receivers, and they're still giving him wide receiver snaps because they want you. So what happens is, like, a lot of times they just, as you guys see, they motion him out. They want you to have to pretend like they're going to run the ball and then put you in a mismatch situation by flexing him out, by moving him around, by sending him out in coverage, so that you have to send more linebackers out into coverage, less guys coming at the quarterback, more time for Mahomes, and the balance right now is really good. Mahomes, you look, Andy, Nagy, Mahomes, they're all in their bag right now. Everything's really functioning borderline perfectly as an offense, so I'm not surprised.
Coming up at noon, don't forget, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid is right here on Cody and Gold. A lot of people on the text line asking about updates on Omar Norman Lott or Josh Simmons. He'll be asked about, I don't know if we'll really get much. You guys know on Monday sometimes we'll get the, well, they're not, the guys aren't in yet.
I just
yet.
Got in.
We'll see. Yeah. It clearly did not look great for Omar Norman Lott. I don't think anybody has to be a doctor to look at that and say, oh no, that looks like that could be one of
Holmes
those
helping him off,
season long type things. I hope not, but that's what that looked like. Josh Simmons, yeah, we're all in the same boat on that one. I have no clue. All right, let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
We go to Florida for this one. I think it was last week Drew was bringing up the McDonald's Monopoly back, right? Have you gone there?
We talked about
you
it.
You got any more
question.
Pieces, Drew? Are you still just waiting for Boardwalk? Still waiting like everybody
else?
Can
I get your big prize?
Oh, yeah, I'm still waiting.
Still waiting on Boardwalk. So am I. Yep.
I haven't been to McDonald's since.
Two people have already won the Winnebago or whatever RV. I already saw two people won
that. What the hell would I do with that?
Sell it.
Can I take the cash equivalent?
Yeah.
Because I don't want an RV.
Well, because you're going to have to pay the property tax and the taxes on it anyway, so just sell it.
Yeah. Not looking to own an RV personally.
Yeah, same. If I won that, I would be selling it. Anyway.
It'd be kind of funny, though, if you just owned an RV. Just you. Alex takes road trips now by himself in a huge RV.
That'd be, nope.
It'd be fun to take your friends on a trip once.
Oh, for sure.
When you want to take it
one time. Yeah, just one time.
One trip.
But then the value goes down drastically. I got to keep that thing brand new.
Yeah,
anyway.
I keep it mint.
I bring this up because at a McDonald's in Florida, three people were arrested. Now, it didn't have anything to do specifically with Monopoly, but basically they got busy. And people didn't like that. That's the nice way to sum it up. So this happened on October 12th, so about a week or so ago, in Davenport, Florida. Drew, I don't know if you've been to Davenport. You're a Florida guy. I don't know where that's at in Florida,
no
necessarily.
Idea. I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Big state.
All right. Fair enough. Anyway, they got in an argument. The incident started at 3 a.m., so it's always a good time for things not to happen. 3 a.m. when the restaurant was slammed with orders. Two men, age 18 and 19, were told by drive-through employees or an employee that they were too busy to take more orders. Now, I will admit, what do you mean you're too busy to take more orders? It's McDonald's.
I've been turned down from restaurant, like fast food places before.
Too busy? What?
Dude, sometimes they just get behind. One time I was trying to pick up like a Chipotle order and the person just looked at me and said, this ain't gonna happen.
Okay, so
like this is not, like somebody didn't turn the printer off and they took too many online orders or like, this ain't
so happen. I'm not excusing what I'm about to say happened.
Okay.
But I must say, if I go through the drive-thru McDonald's, and look, if I have to wait a half hour, I have to wait, but there's no, hey, we're not serving you today. We're too busy. That doesn't exist.
But if they say half hour, you're probably going anyway. Right?
Sure, but yeah, I'm not waiting half hour. So I would also be confused if I was in a drive-thru at a fast food place and they said, hey, man, we're not serving you. We're too busy. I'd be like, what? Anyway, all right. So the pair became angry. They threatened the employee. Don't do that. And they said, we're going to wait for you in the parking lot.
Then
they got serious. All jokes aside now. They walked into the lobby, continued the argument. The manager heard them reference firearms, mentioning a 30 clip. The employee went to the break room. He grabbed a weapon from his backpack. Okay. A struggle broke out. A gun got discharged. Somebody got struck in the neck. Non-life-threatening injury. The employee fled the scene, taking his gun and shell casing. He was later charged with tampering with evidence. And so the two customers were charged with disorderly conduct, but it was the employee that actually fought and discharged his weapon towards the customers.
I gotta say, though, if they're talking guns, look at this. You're gonna get yourself shot over a McDouble? Is it worth it? Guy said he can't serve you, just go somewhere else.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, it's 3 a.m. and you're drunk off your ass. You're getting yourself shot for a six-piece. This can't be worth it. Wow. There's no fast food. There's no food on the planet we're taking a bullet for, I'll tell you that. Not worth it, dude.
Davenport is in between Orlando and Lakeland.
Sounds terrible.
Okay. Is it a good area or not?
It looks like it's kind of out.
Looks like it's not by the ocean, what's the point?
I mean, it's south of Orlando.
You said,
so
what's the point of living in Florida?
It's inland.
There's no beach nearby.
There's a lot of beach in Florida.
True.
What the hell am I living inland for?
Because, I don't know, it's nice.
What's nicer about it than any other inland place, I guess? You know?
I mean, it's Florida. You're not too far from Disney World in this case. For being in Davenport, you're a quick drive from Disney World, Orlando.
Davenport, Florida, significantly lower overall crime rate compared to the national average. So it's not supposed to be
Same
a dangerous
place.
Area.
Mm-hmm. Davenport.
Somebody wanted their McChicken badly. And then again, it was the employee that actually continued to escalate it.
If that guy took it to that point, this is not the first time he's unfortunately been threatened in the middle of the night by some jerk coming through the drive-thru line. He's like, that's it. Next time somebody tries to come step to me in the middle of this McDonald's parking lot, I'm not taking this anymore. They said, I'll see you out of your car.
Yeah.
You can't be saying that to people and expecting not an escalation.
Nope. No, you can't.
If somebody said that to you on the text line and they meant it, not whoever's going to text it in now, and they meant it, well, then I got to take that seriously.
McDonald's at 3 a.m. or Taco Bell?
Taco Bell.
If you had to rank the food you would most likely take a bullet for, what is it?
What's the most transformational piece of fast food you've ever had? No food, period. Yeah, definitely no fast food, that's for sure. Okay. There you go. That's the trash of the day. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour and defensive line help. How badly do the Chiefs need that, even after a 31-0 win? We'll get into that and the most complete win of the season. That's next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul, and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. Are we officially done with anything pro football focus related as it relates to quarterback?
Yeah.
I saw his grade for the week. It was 64.3. He on the season going into the week was below Spencer Rattler in the Pro Football Focus rankings.
Yeah.
So, like, for quarterback, at least for Mahomes at quarterback, we have to be done, right? Whatever their system is doesn't include the way that man plays football.
We've had this conversation for a couple years.
Yeah.
And I thought we agreed that unless it's offensive linemen, we don't really bring them up. And I know some people might take that as, well, so you just don't like the grade, so you're just going to say it sucks. No, I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm saying for offensive linemen, defensive linemen, I value it more. I don't think any casual person is watching a football game and watching the offensive line, so I value what they have to say about how certain offensive linemen performed. I don't think anybody is watching yesterday and breaking down Kingsley's game. Like, the eye test only works so well for an offensive line unless you're Mitchell Schwartz, where he's watching offensive linemen or whatever, okay? For quarterbacks, I do think there is a little bit of the eye test. You, for the most part, can tell, did a quarterback have a good day or do they suck? And I'll tell you this, when I watched 10 games of Spencer Rattler compared to the six games or whatever this year of Patrick, seven games of Patrick Mahomes, I don't need grades to tell me who the better quarterback is. I don't. And then PFF is very defensive now about it too. So someone that didn't even work for them anymore, but used to work there, Steve Palazzolo, who we've had on, we've had on the show before. They got a lot of heat for Mahomes having a poor grade last week. So this week, Mahomes was awesome, but he had the one throw that should have been intercepted.
Two that they might count as interceptable, yeah, because the other
sure.
one across.
One for sure.
One okay. was in the guy's hand.
They caught a break, not a good throw. Okay, fine. And his response was, does this basically, like, does this play mean that you guys won't complain about the PFF grade this week? And my first thought was, one, you're just trying to troll, but also you're saying this is the issue we have with PFF. That one play, you're saying, should overtake all the 95% of the great ones that he had yesterday?
And that's
where
perfect.
The PFF stuff is stupid.
I guess this is what it really comes down to. They're telling you a 60 grade, in their opinion, is what an average weekly grade would be.
It wasn't average yesterday.
For any NFL quarterback, he was at like 64. They essentially scale theirs out as like, you know, 90 to 100 as being the best of the NFL or around there. 85 to 90 being in there. Starters essentially range between 70 and 84. They're saying that was a below starter grade?
Yeah, that's the problem with
this. Come on.
That's the problem with their system.
What I ask of them is not that your system be perfect or that it not have some subjective nature to it or anything else to it. What I ask of you is that if your system regularly has the best quarterback of his generation and the best quarterback in the NFL by everyone's standard, as regularly the like 9th to 15th best quarterback in the league, fix it.
Yeah. No, look, last year, if you wanted some of the grading on that, last year they were not a good offense, and there were moments where Mahomes did not play well. Last year, okay,
I would expect
fine.
His pro football
but
focus.
This year, specifically weeks 4 through 7 now, if you are grading him out as consistently the 15th or 9th best, in some cases, quarterback, then it's broken.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's broken. And yeah, teams do value PFF. That teams pay for the PFF grades. Like, nobody's saying that it's completely invaluable. As I said, I think for offensive line and defensive line, it's something that I put a lot of stock in. And teams put a lot of stock in, clearly, because they're paying PFF to subscribe to their service. If it was completely useless, teams would not be paying for it.
Like,
but the quarterback part is where it's a disaster. And Spencer Rattler has been way better than people want to give him credit for. He looks like a legitimate starting quarterback. It's not even about Spencer Rattler. But I'm sorry. Patrick Mahomes should not be getting worse grades the last 4 weeks in particular than Spencer Rattler. That's insane.
Here's what I have to take issue with. So last week, there was a pass. And people brought this up, and they look it up. Because they chart every play.
Turnover-worthy plays.
There was and Mahomes will have a couple of them this week, according to Pro Football Focus, otherwise his passing grade would be higher. They probably called it maybe 3 turnover-worthy throws. There was a pass last week where Josh Allen, under pressure, threw a ball over the middle to a guy who dove and undercut it. Not like it went off Travis Kelce's hands and got intercepted, in which case I would argue that is not an interceptable pass. Travis Kelce made it interceptable. But a guy went underneath the route as Josh Allen went under pressure and intercepted the ball. They deem that not an interceptable pass.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
And you're like, he picked it. What do you mean it's not interceptable? He actively intercepted
it. This is not some it's not solely some algorithm best thing. There is somebody that's assigned to a particular game to watch the Chiefs and the Raiders. And that individual, whoever it is, watched the game, and they graded Mahomes as a below average starter yesterday. Just that's the part that's laughable. And it's so we've already talked about it too much.
I thought we
had a deal.
Just reconfirming.
I thought we had a deal that we were done just complaining about it, because we all agree that it's kind of a joke when it comes to grading quarterbacks. That's all.
I don't know how you watch Patrick Mahomes' game. Like, if you're the grader and you turn that one in, you know what? I'd lie. I'd change my score. Like, if I were the person who individually graded that, I'm not turning that score in. Are you insane?
But unless, again, we're talking about
that score in.
Yeah, we're done with it. But as I say, we're talking about a human doing the grading, so there's always bias that's built in. That's all.
You must be a Raiders fan.
But anyway.
Could have done better.
Let's talk about the defensive line. So it's weird saying this, because a Chiefs defense that didn't give up a single point, and it was historically, like truly historically, great performance by the Kansas City Chiefs. And what they were able to do to Geno Smith, 30 first downs to 3 first downs, 31 points to 3, you know, to 3 first downs, 96 yards allowed, all these trends and stats out of the game. Dominant.
Yes.
The Omar Norman Lott injury, we do not know yet. And again, we'll hear from Andy in about 20 minutes. It sure looks like a devastating type of knee injury from just anybody that watched the game, right?
Yeah, I'd agree.
I don't need someone doing a grade to tell me that.
See if Andy has anything to say about it. He's supposed to get an MRI today, according to the reports last night.
Don't feel great about it. We already know they're struggling in the interior defensive line to begin with. This feels like the spot that in 2.5 weeks, right? Is that about right? 2.5 weeks?
Yeah,
the trade deadline, that's an area. Can you get some extra defensive line help, especially if you're going to lose Norman Lott?
I think it's only... Look, and this is not because they only got 1 sack in the game yesterday. What the hell do I care? They only got 1 sack. They let up less than 100 yards. I don't care if you get 0 sacks. I don't care if you somehow give sacks back. If you give up less than 100 yards, I'm not going to nitpick the number of sacks they got as it relates to the defense, because the defensive line looked okay yesterday. The issue is that you were already kind of thin in the depth department, and you and I had talked about the fact that Omar Norman Lott and Ashton Jelati, I thought gold, were part of their plan to get better on the defensive line. As in, historically, if you wait till week 8, 9, 10, 11, they might be more willing to use those guys, get them in the rotation more, take over snaps for guys that we thought were struggling, like Nadi or whoever, and that would be a part of the solution. Just get better with rookies. One of those rookies is gone, at least for now. It looked serious, so we'll see what they have to say about it later. But if it's serious, shop now. You are riding high. The team looks good. The trade deadline's in 2 weeks. This is a good time to add another defensive lineman. Get him in early so you actually have a chance to incorporate him into the defense. So the same thing that applied to Omar Norman Lott applies to whoever you trade.
The part we don't know, and I don't have the answer to this, is who's available already? How many teams are willing to trade?
Jalen Phillips is already the
rumor. Dolphins, yeah. And the Dolphins, to this point, they claim that they're not willing to trade anybody yet. You have also Stephen Ross, their owner, saying that at this time they're not making a change with Mike McDaniel, at least at this time, after a 1-6 start, I think it is, for the Dolphins. They were horrific yesterday, embarrassing.
I mean, there are like 7 or 8 teams that are awful.
Yeah, but as you know, how this plays out, how many teams are already willing to trade somebody?
I would think
might have to wait another week is what I'm saying, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, I'm not putting it on like by Tuesday, you better get somebody in-house. Look, hell, even like former Chief Tano Passanio just got cut by the Bears. If you're just looking for a body for a week, I'm not saying it's a permanent solution. If you're just, to be clear, but if you're just looking for a body for a week, fine. There are, I would argue, here are the teams who should already be willing to trade. Dolphins, they're awful. Yep. Jets.
But what player, I guess, is one? You know what I mean? Like
Jalen Phillips on the Dolphins. Okay. I'd have to look at the Jets roster. Yeah. I don't know who's on their defensive line. Titans, Simmons, obviously, and he might be too expensive. Raiders should already be willing to trade. These are the teams that genuinely should be willing to trade. Giants want to wait. That's fine. Get it. Saints want to wait. Probably not. They're 1-6. Maybe get some guys for Spencer Rattler to work on. And then the Cardinals are probably one more week away before they mail it in.
The defensive line seems like the area that they should try to get some reinforcements before the deadline is up and in the next couple of weeks. We had Nate Taylor in studio with us last week. He'll join us tomorrow, as he always does. And I think he brought up, hey, keep an eye. Have you called Christian Wilkins to see where things are at there? The only thing that's complicated with him is I still think he's unsigned, because whatever the heck happened in that Vegas locker room, I have no idea. Remember, that was the whole thing. I have no idea.
And then nobody said anything more about it, and nobody signed him.
So something's there, and I don't know if that's a league-wide thing right now where everybody's staying away or what. I'm not saying it's necessarily what happened. I don't know. There's a lot of rumors out there. Is that what's preventing anything from happening with anybody in the league? I don't know, but that's a name, talent-wise, that you'd be intrigued by, unless there's something we don't know in the whole story there that is everybody's saying no, off limits, and I don't know.
That could be the case. He could just be washed. Teams do universally agree sometimes that a player doesn't have it anymore. Now, they're not even bringing the man in for a workout. I think it's more likely it's the first thing that you mentioned. But again, we can go through it. Maybe later in the week we can bring up some actual names besides the ones that have already been mentioned, like Simmons and Phillips. But there have got to be, I don't think it is going to be a player the caliber of Simmons, okay? I don't think they're swinging for the fences. Although I could argue that this is a great year for it, because you have an elite-level offense rounding into form. Here we go. Your defense has carried you the last 2 years with a lot of the same talent you have on there, with one more pass rusher. And they're already, as of right now, tonight might change it. We can talk about it tomorrow. As of today, they're one of only three teams in the NFL with a top 5 points per game offense and a top 10 points per game offense and a top 10 points per game defense. The other two, by the way, can you guess? It's not the normal teams you would think of necessarily, but it's teams that you would expect based on this season's performance.
That has a top 5 offense and defense right now
on points per game. Chiefs are one. There's two others.
Colts
are one.
Yeah.
The other one's playing tonight.
Seattle.
Yeah. Seattle. A team that is having a much better season than I think some people are discussing, because they've quietly been going about their business. They are the other team in the top 10 of both. But when you start looking at it, it's like, this is a great year in the sense that you're coming off of 3 straight Super Bowl trips. You appear to have a Super Bowl roster again. If you get great work along the defensive line, I mean, it seems like kind of a sweet year to swing for it. That's all. And you're likely to pick at the end of the first round and all the other normal problems that make it worthy of trading. Now, I would say some of this depends on Simmons. And if he comes back to football, because how much do you want to give up picks if you might need to do other things? And I'm not saying that's we're there yet, but depending on his situation, you might need more Fair. Offensive line help or other stuff. We don't know.
Yeah, rotational defensive player in the trade market should absolutely be the top target. I know we all longer term agree that they will have to figure some things out in the offseason with the running back position. You know, you got expiring contracts on Pacheco and Hunt, and we've all talked about that already. None of us are completely anti-improving running back, but it feels like asset-wise, maybe I can get by with not trading for a running back.
I got enough weapons that if I got to make do for
your defensive line might be that area instead where you allocate resources. And in the offseason, you worry about spending a top draft pick on a running back. When I say top draft pick, doesn't necessarily mean first round. Drew and I were texting this weekend, you know, about college running backs, and I was like, I think you mentioned Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame, who's obviously awesome, and he's probably going to be a top 15, 20-ish pick. I don't want them spending a first round pick on a running back, but second round we can have that conversation plenty of time to have that conversation in February, March, April.
Drew, I will say we used to do something on this show where we'd have interventions for people to try to help them with problems that we saw as being an issue. Just generally speaking, you know, trying to help people along their way. I think you need to work on one thing. Can I tell you? Judgment-free zone?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know where this is going.
Oh, we didn't talk about this before the show at all, so.
No, we didn't.
Oh, boy.
This is a football-related thing that I think would help you, and I think Gold will agree with me once I say it. It did not burn you this weekend. You are a little too – you got to be careful, prisoner of the moment. You'll see one Alabama football drive and say, they're back, baby! Mm-hmm. Like they never left. Like you said, you know, like game over against the Jags. You get a little carried away in the first quarter. I'd say you got to tread a little lighter on the early stances of those.
You're saying, did you get nervous at all when I texted you everybody's time is being wasted by this Raiders game. All being wasted.
I'm saying you get a quarter into a game or a game into something and you're immediately ready to declare it good to go.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not good to go in some cases. Sometimes it is.
Yeah, sometimes.
But it's too risky to constantly be, you know, like, we're squared away. Everything's solved. Nothing to see here. Because I remember you texted us during the – I gave you the Alabama example because they ended up did look very good in that game. You texted us something very similar in Missouri. You said, unbelievable, unstoppable. Look at them on offense. Missouri's rolling. They lost that game. I mean, they didn't lose by a lot, but you were very confident about Missouri.
Well, yeah, after one drive against Alabama, they looked really good, and then they had the taunting penalty, and Alabama scored. Otherwise, they potentially could have been up 10-14 nothing.
I'm saying, like, wait for a half, quarter, four games. You're ready to declare Joe Flacco like that he's going to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns a game the rest of the week.
In fairness, I believe on Thursday night, the Bengals were down 7-0, and you tweeted, Zach Taylor's punting this game away by going for the punch.
That's
and then they came
I was got
the
receipts.
That's
he's got receipts. Cody, actually, you walked it. I'm going to back. I'm not getting into
Drew's
this.
Right. I can't even
argue.
Oh,
man. You came firing bullets, and Drew just had a bullet ready to go in the chamber as well.
He's not wrong. I was definitely way too early on that one. I thought they were getting ready to get run out of the building. In that game, and definitely thought that they had done it, that punted way too soon in that game.
I think we all can be better at the prisoner of the moment sort of stuff. I think we all can be a little bit
You're the
better.
Ultimate hype man. You're usually in the positive on that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I'm very much in the positive of it. I will say, though, it felt like watching that game yesterday, we were wasting our time. Like, we already knew it was going to happen. It's like, are we, this is so sad. It was sad.
I don't disagree with that. It did feel like we were just kind of waiting.
He couldn't go for any fourth downs. I was like, man, what are you doing? You're down 14-0 or whatever it was, and you're still punting this thing. You got to go every single time at this rate.
I love when at the end of the game, when Nance was like, well, you got to go for it here. I'm like, no, they don't. It's 30-0. The game's
over.
They don't have to go for anything here. They're down 5 scores. Yeah. They should have gone for it earlier in the game. They don't have to go for anything now. They can just try to get to the bus. Yeah. They don't have to go for any fourth downs. They can just get their ass to the bus. They don't have to go for it now. They did. They didn't. They had two opportunities to go for it early and punted the Raiders when it was clear the game was going to get locked.
I thought, the first one.
The first one was especially
the way that the Chiefs' offense looked. Especially, it's like it's not like you just held them tight and they had a couple. The Chiefs had to go for it on 4. It wasn't any of that. It was you just they ran up and down the field easily. You had to start going for it at some point. But hey, you know what? I do think I think I don't know which one of you guys mentioned it. I think there was a little bit of Andy, well, you know what? It's Pete Carroll, and you know what? I'm not going to fully embarrass them.
Yeah,
absolutely. He's not the, he does that all the
time. Yeah, he does it all the time, especially someone that has, you know, the track record of Pete Carroll and been around for a while. He's never going to intentionally try to embarrass an opponent. No. That's just not his strategy.
In a weird way, I would argue it's more embarrassing. It's like when a coach would make us hit left-handed. Or
and then I also think some of yesterday, not only was it late in the game where on that fourth down they could have kicked a chip shot field goal to add 3 points, doesn't matter. Instead, they ran again on fourth down, and they basically ran the same run play, 5 plays in a row. They just flipped it, I think, on the fourth down. The field goal they did not try. Instead, they punted at the Raiders, 42 or 40?
It would have been like a 55-yarder.
It was a long field goal. But if that was a close game, they kicked the field goal. They punted because, A, they didn't want to run the score, but also, B, I think they're like, you know what? Harrison Butker's had a good day at the office. We do not need to leave him with a miss, possibly, going home. We need he clearly, Dave Tobe said it's a mental thing, more than physical thing. Let's have him feel good. And he got through a game where everything was good, and that hopefully carries over to next week. I think that's what that was.
Yeah. I don't think there, other than Omar Norman-Lott having potentially a season-ending injury, we don't know that yet, but and not looking good, I don't think you can complain about a single solitary thing from that game yesterday.
Nope. What am I supposed to
say? It was a perfect game, yeah, other than, like you mentioned, the injury. It was a great game.
I mean, Trey Smith leaving the game and Omar Norman-Lott. Yeah, him too. The only things that went bad.
Yeah, it was an awesome, stress-free game for those that like the noon kickoff. You got that as well. There is something different of the vibe in the parking lot walking in for a noon game. Like not that night.
I love
a Sunday night game. You know that from in game, but the walk towards the stadium and hanging out in the parking lot.
Feels
a noon
like
kickoff. Yeah,
because exactly. Every game was a noon.
Right, that's probably part of it. But I feel like everybody's more likely to tailgate for a noon game than they are for a Sunday night game or certainly a Monday night. Like next week, Monday Night Football, it'll be awesome atmosphere in the stadium. But people are working on Monday. You know, people aren't tailgating. Some people will.
Yes, obviously, there's always some.
Majority of people cannot get there at 2:30. Okay, and start tailgating. A lot of you will. Props to you. Take half a day or whatever. But I Sunday noon kickoff is special.
It is.
Very up next, so. We're going to hear from Andy Reid. The only place you can hear from Andy Reid is right here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll see if there's any update on a couple of those injuries. Plus, we'll get back into the historical performance from the Chiefs.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like.
Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.